The 46th Psalm opens with these words: God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Are you in trouble? Do you know trouble? This is a world full of trouble, a troubled world. Not a day passes when you don't hear of this trouble or that. This is an unstable world, a world full of hatred, a world full of violence, a world full of jealousy, a world full of anger, a world full of sin, a world full of death. We are frail creatures by nature. We're born, we live, we die. Our lives are fleeting. And as the scriptures say elsewhere, man is born unto trouble. In our fleeting lives, in the 70 or so years that we may be granted, though people speak of happiness, though people speak of pleasure, though people spend their lifetimes desperately trying to reach happiness, to attain unto happiness, to make themselves rich, to follow this pleasure and this entertainment. The reality is, for the vast majority, that most of their lives are hard, are full of trouble. Most experience much misery. This is not a happy world. Though the media may try to tell you it is. Though the media may lead the foolish and dangle before them glittering objects or glittering ideals of what their lives could be in order to make money out of them, the reality is that this world is not joyous. The business world, the marketing world, will tell you happiness is to be found here. Spend your money here and you will gain this. Buy this thing, buy that thing, dress this way, go this way, eat this, eat here, eat there, drink this, drink here, drink there. And you will find happiness. And people strive and they spend and they seek. And they're never happy. Instead, what they experience most of the time is tragedy and misery and illness and bereavement and hatred and opposition and frustration and boredom. One thing after another, the reality is most people's lives are full of trouble. Are you in trouble? When it isn't full of trouble, it's full of work, hard work. When Adam and Eve created in this world, created at a time when there was no sin, when they turned their backs on God and said, "We'll go our own way," trouble entered this world. Trouble entered. And being cast out of the Garden of Eden, they were commanded, they were forced into having to farm the land. And they found it hard work. The ground was stony, thorny, full of weeds. Work entered alongside the fall of man. Until then, when God created man and put him in the garden, he gave man all things to enjoy. But following the fall, man had to work to gain anything to enjoy. He had to work to live. He had to work to gain his food. He had to work to gain water. He had to work to put a shelter over his head. He had to work to clothe the family. He had to work and to labor. And most people's lives, even when there is no immediate trouble, even when they are healthy, as it were, even when they are not at a time of great crisis, most people's lives are full of hard work, hard labour, just to survive. And they try to bury the hardness and the trouble with a bit of pleasure here and there. So they eat and they drink and they are merry to try to hide the fact that their lives are but a struggle. What is your life? Are you full of trouble? Well, that's in the temporary sense. Just in the temporary sense, in the physical sense, in the outward sense, everybody's life is full of that sort of trouble. Everybody works. Everybody struggles. Everybody feels the frailty of their flesh. Everybody gets sick. Everybody gets ill. Everybody worries about this and worries about that. Everybody struggles to earn enough money to feed their families. Everybody encounters those who cross their path, those who bring them trouble that they don't invite. Everybody finds that there are those who are their enemies. There are those who hate. There are those who prevent them going where they would go. Everybody's lives are full of this sort of trouble. But everybody's lives are also full of an inward trouble which they may or they may not recognize. And it's that inward trouble which is the cause of the outward trouble that they do recognize, they do experience, and they do fret over. The cause of all the trouble in this world is your sin and your rebellion against God. It's because we've turned our backs on God and gone our own way that the trouble has come upon us. Sin entered this world by one man, Adam, and death by sin, and everything that accompanies it. Are you afflicted with illness? It came because of sin. Do you have those who hate you? It came because of sin. Do you see death fast approaching? It came because of sin. Do you feel despair and a hopelessness in this world? It came because of sin. Do you look around the world today and see the movements among the nations, the rising up of this force and that force? Do you see the warfare in this country and that country? Do you see the civil wars which rise and the displacement of the people and wonder what's going to happen? It came because of sin. And not just the sins of others. It's not just the sin of this person or this nation or that nation. The trouble isn't there because everyone else has sinned. The trouble's there because you have sinned. So much of the trouble that afflicts you is from your doing. Then what are you going to do in trouble? Where are you going to run in trouble? Where are you going to find hope? Where are you going to find refuge? Where are you going to escape it? How are you going to escape it? Men find every means. They think, if I work at this or work at that or do this or do that, or if I can earn enough money to buy this or buy that, if I can earn enough money that I can buy private health care, then maybe I can sort out this illness I've got. They go to every means that they can, that they can put their hand to sort out the mess they're in, and nothing helps. They may find temporary solace for a while, but the hours of their lives are ticking away, tick-tock, tick-tock, tick-tock until the last moment comes and all that they have done is for nothing. And their last day passes and they stand before Almighty God whom they have offended, and then they know trouble. That day is fast approaching for you. You think you've got trouble now. When that day comes and you stand before God and it's too late to make amends for your rebellion, then you'll know trouble. To whence will you run? Where will you find help in that day? How will you find an answer to give unto Almighty God, who says unto you, why did you not worship? Why did you not seek me? Why did you not come unto me when you were in trouble? Why did you not cry unto me when you needed help? Why did you not confess your sin unto me when your sins brought you into this mess? Why did you not seek me? Why did you not love me when I gave you everything that you ever had? When I made you, when I fed you, when I gave you the food and the water which you enjoyed in this world, why did you never thank me? Why did you never seek me? Why did you never come unto me? What's your answer? If you have no answer, you will know trouble. There is trouble which comes unto men on that day, from which they can never escape. Nothing you will do, nothing you can do, will remove that trouble. When God's sentence of justice comes down upon you because of what you have done and said in this world, because of your hatred of God and his ways, because of your apathy, because of your selfishness, your pride, your arrogance, because you shut him out, then you will know trouble. Do you know trouble now? Do you know the trouble that comes from within because of sin? To whence will you go? Well, the psalmist had an answer. The psalmist knew where to go in trouble. The psalmist was taught the emptiness of this world and the hopelessness of all other refuge other than God. The psalmist knew and could say with a certainty, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. All other refuge I have found wanting. There's nowhere else to go. We can go to men and they'll let us down. They will fail us. We can resort to our own strength and we get into more trouble than when we started. There's nowhere else to go. But we have found that God is our refuge and strength. When trouble comes, it is to God that the psalmist fled. And not only did he flee unto him, but he found God to be a refuge. He didn't just cry out from his trouble in the hope that God might hear him, but he knew the reality. He knew the walk of faith to be able to call out unto his God, to flee unto his God, and to take refuge in his God. And for his God to take him and wrap his arms around him and protect him. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. Selah. He could run unto his God, and he was safe. It was, as it were, like running into a castle where his enemies couldn't touch him, into a safe city. It was in the midst of storms, like running into the ark, like Noah was placed in the ark. And the door was shut, and there in the ark he was safe, and the storms rained down and destroyed the world around. And yet Noah and his family were safe in the refuge. Here the psalmist runs under his God. And though the earth is removed around him, though the mountains should be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters roar and are troubled, though the mountains shake, he's safe in his refuge. He's safe in God. He's safe in the Saviour, Jesus Christ. God is his refuge and his strength. Is he your refuge? Is he your strength? Where is your strength? In what do you trust? Where is your refuge? It's easy to stand in a day when there's no trouble. It's easy to stand on a sunny day, a pleasant day. But when the storms come, when the earth is moved, when the mountains shake, then where will you go? When all that you've hoped and trusted in comes crumbling down, when all your hope, not just in natural things, but when all your spiritual hope comes crumbling down, where will you go then? You say, I'll be all right. I believe. I'm a Christian. I'm religious. I go to church. I pray. I read the Bible. I go and worship. I'll be all right when the storms come. But have you come under the true and the living God? Is the Jesus you worship the true Christ of the Scriptures? Is your God sovereign? Is your God in control? Did your God come unto you and save you? Or did you go unto God and say, I will follow? And you're really resting in your decision and your choice. Has God come unto you, or have you just simply said, I will do this and I will do that? Have you made God your servant, or are you his servant? In what do you trust? Will your religion, will your trust, will your belief help you when the storms come, when the earth is moved, and when the mountains are carried into the midst of the sea? Where is your strength? Is your strength in how strong you believe? Is your strength in self? Is your faith something you've worked up? Is it based upon your own understanding, your own wisdom? Is it based upon your own works, your own doing, your own decision? Well, your wisdom can be brought to nothing, and your understanding may be completely wrong, and your faith can waver when trouble comes. If you trust in self, if it's your faith you're trusting in, your wisdom you're trusting in, your knowledge and seeking out of what you think is true that you're trusting in, then it will all be brought down. God will send a storm and he'll show you that it's nothing. But if God is your refuge and your strength, if it is God who's sought you out, if it's God who's led you to himself, if it's God that's shown you that you're nothing and that he's your saviour, he must save, he must take you, he must put you in the ark and shut the door. If it's God who's had dealings with you, then you will be able to say with the psalmist, God is my refuge and strength. I don't trust in my faith. I don't trust in my understanding. I don't trust in my religion. But I do trust in the God who took me and saved me. He came unto me when I was lost. He found me. He plucked me out of the waters. He took me when I was drowning. He took me when I was dead, when I was dying, when I was blind, when I was dumb, when I was deaf, when I did not understand. He took me when I was running afar off like Jonah. I was fleeing from him. I was in a ship trying to escape his presence. And he came and he found me. And he threw me overboard. And he sent a fish, as it were, and swallowed me up. And he showed me who is God. He showed me who I am and who he is. And then he delivered me. And he put me on dry ground. And he took me and saved me. He's my refuge. He's my strength. Are the waters around you roaring? Are they troubled? Are the mountains moving? In what do you trust? The psalmist had a refuge. Do you? Psalmist goes on in verse 4 to speak of a city. A city of refuge, the city of God. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God. The holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. He comes, after speaking of God being his refuge, to speak of the city of God. For there's no refuge like God's city. The people of God together take refuge. They take refuge in God and they gather together in his city, in his kingdom. In this city of refuge. That's where they gather. And they find as they gather that God is in the midst of them. And that's why they cannot be swept away by the troubled waters. That's why the storms cannot touch them. Because they, as God's people, as his church, as Christ's bride, they as she are gathered in the city of God, and God is in the midst of her, them, the city. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early, because he's gathered her in his city. He's taken this people who were afar off. He's taken this people who were in trouble. And he's brought them into his city. And nothing can touch them. And how did he bring them into the city of God? How did he bring this troubled people into refuge? How might he bring you into refuge if you're outside the city? If you're in trouble and you know that God is the only refuge for your soul, how would he bring you into his city? Through a river which flows out of that city. A river the streams whereof make glad the city of God. It's through a river. The river must come from the city to your soul. And if you know that river and you know the waters of that river, you'll know the gladness it brings. You'll know the change it brings. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God. Christ spake of rivers of living water. He spake of the water of life, which if you drink of, you will never thirst. He spake of the need of that water, and he spake of how that water flows from the heart, flows from his side. And in speaking of it, he drew the attention of the hearer to how he would deliver his people, how he would take his people and bring them into his city, how he would be the refuge of that people, how he would gather that people into him, how he would be one with them and they would be one with him, how they would be in him and he would be in her. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. They are wed by this river, this water of life. Do you know anything of this water? Have you drunk of this river? Have you lived? You who once were dead, have you drunk and lived? The river which flows from the city of God is a picture of the river of blood and water which flowed from the side of Jesus Christ when he came into this world, when he came into the midst of trouble, when he came to where troubled sinners dwelt, when he came to where you and I dwelt, in the midst of trouble, drowning in the troubled waters, drowning in the storms, where the mountains are carried away into the midst of the sea. He came to where we are, in the midst of trouble. And he came to where the dead are. He came where the dead dwell. He came into a world of death, where dead souls stumbled around in the darkness. And he took the sin that brought that death upon all men. He took the sin that Adam brought into this world when he turned his back on God. He took the sin that brought the trouble and the darkness and the death. He took the sin that poisoned the waters and he took it upon himself. And he went to the cross. He went to the darkness. He was nailed to the cross. And he took the sin. He took the trouble. He took the death. And he died. He bore the sins of his people. He bore the darkness and iniquity of their hearts. He bore their hatred of God. He bore their apathy. He bore their rebellion. He bore their pride. He bore their arrogance. He bore their unbelief. He bore their love of this world and its ways. He bore their iniquity. He bore their wickedness. He bore their trouble. And he suffered under God's wrath because of it. The Father looked down upon Christ the Son and said, because of what you bear, because of what you are, because of the sin that I see in you, the sin that you bear for my people, I will judge you, I will slay you, I will destroy you. And the fires of God's wrath, the storms of God's wrath, the waters of God's wrath rained down upon Christ until he took that sin away, until he took that hatred away, until he took that trouble away, until he took the rebellion away, until he took it all away. And when there was no more, when there was no more sin, no more darkness, no more death, when he'd borne it all away and paid the price and taken the judgment and drunk up the cup of God's wrath, then his blood was shed. When he had died, a soldier came with a spear and pierced his side, and out of his side there came forth blood and water as a testament to that which Christ had done. John 19:34. When they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they brake not his legs, but one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. And he that saw it bear record, and his record is true, and he knoweth that he saith true, that ye might believe. For these things were done, that the scripture should be fulfilled, a bone of him shall not be broken. And again another scripture saith, they shall look on him whom they have pierced. He pierced his side, and out came blood and water when he was dead. When the price was paid, when the trouble had gone, when the sin had been removed, when there was no more sin in his people, when he had made them to be righteous, when he'd cleansed them, when he'd taken away all their sin and all the cause of trouble, all the cause of judgment, when the death had been taken away from them, when the darkness had gone, his side was pierced, and out came blood and water. Blood which cleanseth from all sin. Water, a picture of living life. That water that flows from the side of Christ, that flows out of the belly, of which if you drink you will live forever. That water of the Spirit of God that takes of the blood and brings it and applies it and washes the sinner. That water that brings life. Have you drunk of that water? Have you been washed in that blood? Did he die in your place? Did he take the trouble of your heart and take it away? Did he love you? When he suffered and died on that cross, when he cried out, "It is finished," did he cry out, "It is finished," for you? Was his blood shed for you? Did the water flow forth for you? Will that water that flowed from Christ's side make glad your heart in the city of God? Will that water lead you to that city? Where is your refuge? Is he your refuge? Is that blood and that water your refuge? Is that city your refuge? Is he your salvation? That's in the city. In the city there is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. But outside, the heathen raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, and the earth melted. Outside of this city, outside of this refuge, outside of Christ, the heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. Are you raging? Are you one of those that rages against this God, his kingdom, his son, his salvation, his refuge, his water, his blood? Are you raging? You see the raging all around. You see it today. Oh, how the kingdoms how the kingdoms are moved. Oh, how the heathen rage today. Oh, they rage. And if you stand up and speak of God, if you stand and speak of his righteousness, if you speak of the sin of man which has brought in death, judgment and wrath, if you declare the truth, you'll see the heathen rage. You'll see their rage. And you'll see the kingdoms moved. You'll see the trouble that they bring. Are you amongst them? Or are you in the refuge? Because if you're amongst them, if you're raging with the heathen, if you're moving with the kingdoms, all the kingdoms together, one world together, all collected with its one thought and one way and one victory that it's aiming for. If you rage with the world in its great might and its great power, if you move with the storms of the waters of the sea together, you will find that there's a voice which, when it speaks, will destroy you utterly. The heathen raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice. The earth melted. Today the kingdoms are moved. Today the heathen rage. Today they broadcast their great voice, their great knowledge, their great opinion upon the airwaves, across the internet, through every means to all tribes and countries and tongues. Oh, how everyone knows what they think. They rage. But when he utters his voice, they will melt. And if you rage with them, and he utters his voice in the gospel, you too will melt. Then you will know what trouble is. Rage all you like. Move all you will. You'll find many companions. You'll be with a great multitude and a great crowd. You'll have a great company. And the loudest voice, and the ones and twos in the midst, who say, "But God." The ones and twos in the midst who say, "But God is our refuge," who you hardly hear and hardly notice. They might pass you by. They might be trampled under your foot and under the foot of the great multitude of which you're a part. You may rage with the heathen. You might have the moment. You might have the greatest voice now. But as soon as he speaks, as soon as God speaks, as soon as he speaks in his gospel, in power, the earth will melt. You will melt. You will be broken before him. Your voice will be silenced. And then you will hear. Now, will you hear this side of death? Will he utter his voice in the gospel to you? Will there be a still small voice silently speaking unto you? Come out of her, my people. Come out of this multitude. Come out of this raging torrent. Come out of the heathen. Come unto me. Come by way of my river. Come by way of the blood. Come by way of the water and the riven side. Come unto the city. Come out of her. Come unto me. Come unto Christ. Come unto the Saviour. Will he speak unto you through his gospel and lead you unto the Saviour and unto the city of God and unto salvation? Or will his voice come unto you when it's too late, when he speaks unto the world in judgment, and when the whole world looks up and the heavens are rolled up like a scroll, and the earth is burnt with fire, and the earth is melted, and the end is brought in, and the sheep are divided from the goats. Will you hear his voice when it's too late? Will you cry out, Lord, Lord, I did this in thy name and that in thy name? And he says, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye worker of iniquity. Will it be too late? Will the troubles of this world seem but nothing compared to the trouble that you enter into on that day? Or will you hear his voice, a still small voice, in the gospel that says God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble? When will the earth melt for you? Will it melt on the last day, on that great trump, that great trumpet sound, when the world is brought to an end and when there's no second chance? Or will you hear? Will the earth melt within? Will the earth melt without? Will your heart melt within? Will the gospel come into your soul in power, and you hear his voice, and you're brought under him and brought unto the city? Will you then turn with the psalmist and say, as one who's heard his voice in grace and salvation, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. The earth melted. Will you then behold the works of the Lord? Not your works, not man's works, not the works of religion, not the works of the mighty, but the works of the Lord. The psalmist says in verse 8, come behold the works of the Lord. What desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Come behold the works of the Lord. Where will you see these works? You may see them, as I've said, on the last day. On the last day when he says enough, then the heathen may rage. Man might move with his bow and his spear and his chariots and the modern interpretations thereof. Man might have his great might and power, but he'll bring it all to nothing. He'll melt the earth. He'll make the wars to cease. But you may also see this if you behold the works of the Lord at the cross, when Christ died, when out of his side flowed forth blood and water. At the cross, God judged the sins of his people. In Christ, he made their wars to cease unto the end of the earth. In Christ, he broke the bows of his people that they used to make war with their neighbor and with God. In Christ, he cut their spears in sunder. In Christ, he burnt their chariots in the fire. He took all their rebellion, all their sin, all their hatred, all their might, all their power, and brought it to nothing, that he might take it away, that he might bring in the righteousness of God for them. Come behold in Christ the works of the Lord. Behold the Lamb of God. Behold the Saviour. Behold the blood shed for sinners. Behold the desolations he have made in the earth. He brings it all to nothing, that in his Son he might bring the dead unto everlasting life. Have you seen the waters, the streams, the rivers flowing from his side? The psalmist concludes, in the light of all of this, be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. There are storms. There is raging. The kingdoms are moved. The heathen rage. The storms come. The trouble flows. But the believer who finds his refuge in Christ alone can hear the cry of the Spirit of God unto his soul and rest in it. When he hears God say unto him, in the midst of trouble, in the midst of the storms, when all around are raging, when all around are speaking hateful things, when all around are doing all they can to undermine, when all around there's trouble and iniquity, in the midst of it all, he can hear God say unto his soul, be still and know that I am God. And he is still, and he knows that he is God. Be still. Is there trouble all around you? Are you fretting as you look out upon this world? Do you look out and see all these swirling torrents of things that are going on, both in the world around you and in your own life? Do you see all the storms of life? Does it bring you to fret, to worry, to wonder? Well, child of God, be still. Be still and know that he is God. Be still and know that I am God, he says. I will be exalted amongst the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. He is your refuge and your strength, a very present help in trouble. He's delivered you. He's paid the price. Christ took away the sin. He shed his blood. He's put an end to all the trouble, past, present and future. It's all done. There's nothing that man can do to you. There's nothing that this world can do to you if you're in Christ. You're in a refuge. You're in a city. There's a wall around you. The Lord of hosts is with you. The God of Jacob is your refuge. Be still. Are you still? Where are you looking? Where are you resting? Has he put faith in your heart to rest and to trust in Christ alone? Are you resting? Are you trusting? Do you know him? Have you heard his voice as the earth melted? As the war ceased? Has peace entered in? Be still and know that I am God.